All right, good evening, everyone. Let's begin. So welcome back. We're picking up where we left off, which is with the 13th bracha of Shmona Esrei. So let's begin with number one. Ala tzedikim v'ala chasidim v'azikni amcha beis Yisrael. To the righteous, the pious, the elders of your people, the house of Israel. V'aplitas sofreim, the remnant of their scholars. V'al girei atzedek, and to the righteous converts. V'alinu, and to us. Yehemuna rachamecha Hashem Elokim. May your compassion be aroused, Lord our God. V'sein sachar tov l'cholabotchim b'shimcha b'enes. Grant a good reward to all who sincerely trust in your name. V'simchalkenu imahem l'yolam. Set our lot with them forever. V'lo nevosh ki b'chabatachnu. So that we may never be ashamed, for in you we trust. Baruch ato Hashem mishan u'miftach l'tzadikim. Blessed are you, Lord, who is the support and trust of the righteous. So on the most basic level, what's unique about this particular bracha, as opposed to the brachos we had before, that if you look at the brachos until now, essentially the first 12 brachos, or really excluding the first three, I would say, remember, we'll say 4 through 12, there are all specific requests. When we look at this particular bracha, what does it appear that we are asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for? What are we asking God for in this blessing? Compassion. That's what it sounds like, which is interesting because compassion is not really a targeted request. Health is a targeted request. Parnasa, livelihood is a targeted request. Knowledge, wisdom, understanding, targeted request. But this idea of compassion seems to be such an amorphous, ambiguous statement. Throw in that all of here. Remember, all of Shmona Esrei we've seen until this point is phrased in a plural. Because ultimately what we say in Shmona Esrei, we understand that in order to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fulfill our request, we always make ourselves part of the collective. What's interesting about this blessing is what? Is that it's not just simply phrased in the plural, but rather, what do we do in this bracha? We actually go through all the different segments of the Jewish people. The tzaddikim, and the chassidim, and the elders, and the scholars, and the converts, and us. So the question is, A, why are we asking for compassion? And first of all, we'll see compassion actually comes out in other brachos. Let's ask for something a little bit more specific. Compassion for what? Compassion how? Compassion in what? And why are we mentioning all of these different subgroups individually? So essentially what we're asking is, what's the message of this particular bracha? So let me share with you first a basic approach. If you take a look at number two, so the tour, Rav Yaakov ben Asher, who was the son of the Rush. So the Torah writes the following. He says, Ala tzadikim v'tiknuha achar kilalas hamashinim. If you remember again, in our last shir, which was a good number of weeks ago, so if you look down at number three very quickly, the previous bracha was the bracha of v'lamashinim. And what did we ask for in v'lamashinim? V'lamashinim alti sikva, for the slanderers let there be no hope, v'chol erisha kerega soved, may all wickedness perish in an instant. And may all of your people's enemies be cut down swiftly. So in the previous bracha, bracha number 12, what we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for essentially is the removal of evil. We ask God, remove our enemies, remove that which is evil, remove that which is negative from within our midst. The Torah writes, he says, Ala tzadikim v'teknu achar kilas hamashinim. What the Torah is picking up on is the juxtaposition of the brachos. So in bracha number 12, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go ahead and essentially rid us and rid our world of all evil. And in bracha number 13, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to exhibit compassion upon the righteous. Says the Torah, what's the nature of the juxtaposition? Simple. Shekevan shekalu hamashinim misromemes karnos hatzadikim. Because once ultimately the wickedness perishes, the wickedness is removed, ultimately, the righteous will be exalted. So you could understand this statement in one of two ways. Either what the Torah is saying is there's almost like a cause and effect. Bracha number 12 speaks about the removal of evil. And once evil is removed, that gives righteousness an opportunity to flourish. So v'lamashinim, get rid of the lamashinim, get rid of the negativity. And then what will happen? Tzadikim, chasidim, zikni amcha b'Yisrael. You will see how righteous we become. Which, of course, is a profound lesson in and of itself. Because then what the nuanced message and the juxtaposition of these two brachos is what? As soon as you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, it's interesting that we have this approach in Judaism. Actually, it's really stated explicitly in Pirkei Avos. Of al tiu ka'avodim ha-mishamshin esarav amnas l'kabal pras. Do not be like servants who worship the master for the sake of receiving reward. Okay, so we're familiar with this idea. We serve for the sake of service. What's the problem with that statement? What's the challenge of it? Oh, the Torah is filled with reward. Honor your father and mother, you'll have longevity of days. In fact, most explicitly in Parshas Bechukosai, what does the Torah say? In Bechukosai telechu, ve'es mitzvosai tishmoru. If you walk in my ways and you keep my mitzvos. And the Torah then goes on to discuss pasuk after pasuk, verse after verse, of material reward. So I don't understand. If you want to tell me that I shouldn't serve God for the sake of reward, okay, I could, as difficult as that is, I can accept it, but then don't talk about reward. Why tell me that I shouldn't worship for the sake of reward, and then the Torah itself discusses explicitly reward for mitzvos? So many of the commentaries explain a beautiful approach in which the following idea. When the Mishnah says, don't serve God for the sake of reward, what that ultimately means is that reward should not be the motivation for our divine service. So what role does reward play? You see, reward does something amazing, which is, it's an enabler. It's an enabler. What happens is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me parnasa. So let's say again, so I'd say, thank God I have parnasa. So do I say, oh, I got my parnasa as a reward for my mitzvos? First of all, who knows that? But what I do know is like this, if I have parnasa, that's God enabling me to be able to fulfill his will without financial struggle. If I have health, so is health a reward? Maybe yes, maybe no, but one thing is clear, which is if I don't have health challenges that I have to struggle with, that enables me to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what God always says is, if you do the mitzvos, if you exhibit what your real will is, and your real will is to serve me, I will enable you to do that. This is part of a greater concept of B'derech She'adam Rotzei Leilech, Molichin Oso. The path that you choose in life, God helps you along that path. That's why the Torah mentions reward, or I should say, that's why the Torah mentions blessing, not as a form of reward, but rather as a form of divine enabling. So it could very well be that that's what the Torah is highlighting over here as well. That what happens, we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, God, you have to understand something. You know, you struggle with us not doing what you want. We struggle with ourselves not doing what you want. You struggle with us not living up to our potential. God, you have to understand why that is. It's not because we're lazy. It's not because we don't care. It's not because you don't want to. Why is it? Because our lives are filled with challenge. Because our lives are filled with challenges. And challenge takes up so much of my emotional energy. And challenge takes up so much of my time. And challenge, so I have to struggle with everything. So what do you expect? By the time I finish dealing with all of my struggles, I'm exhausted, I'm sad, I'm done. I don't have the koach. So what we're saying over here is the following. And remember, this is not just my personal challenges. As a people, we face great challenges. We face enemies. You know, we have to appreciate the fact that we really live in unprecedented times. Mm-hmm. Because even though we face enemies today, and we face many enemies today, if you think about it, Eretz Yisrael, state of Israel, surrounded by enemies. But we have this different sense of confidence because Baruch Hashem, we have an army. Because Baruch Hashem, we have an air force. Because Baruch Hashem, we have a navy that can intercept an Iranian ship filled with missiles on its way to, on its way to Gaza. So but speak to people a generation ago, two generations ago, really pre-state of Israel. And the Jew lived with constant insecurity about his place in the world. Now, the truth is we shouldn't lull ourselves into a full sense of security either. We do face significant perils and significant dangers at the hands of the nations of the world. We just don't feel it as acutely. So says the Torah, what's happening over here is the following. It's an incredible message. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'lamashinim al tihi sikva. If you would just take away the wickedness, if you would just take away the evil, if you would just take away the struggle, you know what would happen? You know what happened? Ala tzadikim, v'ala chasidim, v'al zikni amcha beis Yisrael. You know what would happen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What would happen is that you would see that we would all become immediately righteous. So there's this subliminal message. Remove the challenges. We want to be good. We want to be good. We want to be righteous. But we're human beings. We have limited, finite, emotional, and material resources. If you keep lobbing challenge after challenge after challenge at me, it's going to derail me from accomplishing what I want to. But if you take away the negativity, if you take away at least some of the challenges, Allah tzadikim, v'al chasidim, v'al zikni amcha beisrael, you will see how beautiful and how righteous we can become. If you look at number four, Rabbi Sacks highlights a beautiful idea here as well. And Rabbi Sacks writes, this is number four, taken from his commentary on the Siddur. He says, Allah tzadikim, the righteous. After mentioning those who harm the Jewish people, we go on to describe those who endow it with greatness. The righteous, the pious, the elders, scholars, and converts. So this is amazing. So according to Rabbi Sacks, really what the Siddur is doing, what Chazal were doing, was creating a contrast. V'lamashinim speaks about those who tried to undermine us, and Allah tzadikim speaks about those upon whose shoulders we stand. Pleitas Sovrim, the remnant of their scholars, is a reference to those Jews who endured religious persecution under the Greeks and Romans, and later those who survived the Crusades and those who lived through the Holocaust. Judaism lost many of its greatest scholars as martyrs. So this really, Rabbi Sacks highlights over here, that really what this bracha is trying to highlight over here is the following. That part of the beauty of our people, and Rav Soloveitchik writes, that there's what he calls the unitive time consciousness. What's the unitive time consciousness? That HaKadosh Baruch, we know one of the dominant features of God is that God is Haya Hove V'Yiyah. God is past, present, and future. And Rav Soloveitchik posits that the Jew has the ability to tap into that time continuum as well. That we have the ability to live past, present, and future as well, which the truth is the true strength of our people. The greatest example of this is when? Greatest example is coming. Excellent. It's Pesach. And not just Pesach, the Seder. Because what happens at the Seder? At the Seder is Chayiv Adam Liros Esmaatmo Kil Yotza Mimitzrayim. The first part of the Seder, we don't tell a story about what happened. Rather, what do? We relive that event. We feel, we create a reality as if I myself have left Egypt. And what do? We take that historical event and I bring it into my present. And then remember, after benching, the last part of the Seder is fully focused on what? Right? Praise, but praise related to? Right, hallo, messianic era. The last part of the Seder is really messianically focused. So you see what we do over the course of a couple of hours? We live in the past, we bring the past into the present, we bring the future into the present, and we live in all three dimensions at once. That's what the Rav calls the unitive time consciousness. Rabbi Sacks is suggesting that that's what we're doing in Shmona Esrei as well. That here in the middle of these brachos, what we're taking a moment to recognize, so we focus on those who persecuted us, we focus on those who have beaten us down throughout the ages, and then we take a moment to focus, why am I here? You know, we don't think about this enough. Why am I here? But why are we sitting here learning Torah? Right? Why? We came out of our houses in the dark of night, we're coming out, we're not doing it in secret, right? We're not doing it in some basement. Why are we learning Torah here? Baruch Hashem, in relative safety and security. Granted, it's not Eretz Yisrael. Relatives is Golos. But why? Because of the sacrifices of those who came before us. It's so important to realize that we don't exist in a vacuum. We are here because generations of Jews before us gave their lives al Kiddush Hashem, made the ultimate sacrifice to ensure the continuity of our people. That's how it happened. You see, so often we assume that Judaism is, you know, our greatest challenge is what? Our greatest challenge is, the truth is, you know, the pizza crust on Pesach just still tastes a little Pesach-thick. You know, it's a problem, you know, Nebuch. But don't worry, somebody will come out with a better Pesach pizza crust. Rest assured, to a large degree, that's the extent of our challenges with Judaism. Day school tuition is exceptionally high. Okay, but that really is the extent of it. So we quickly forget that 70 years ago, Jews were being gassed and cremated. And we forget that 1,000 years ago, so Jews were being just murdered in the streets by the Crusaders. And in between 1,000 years ago and 70 years ago, it was much the same throughout the ages. So why are we here? How could it be here? Because there were those who were so committed to our ideals and our values that they were willing to give their life for it no matter what. Says Rabbi Sacks, if we are going to have a meaningful present and build a meaningful future, we have to be sensitive to our past. We have to be sensitive to the sacrifices of those who came before us. The ultimate sacrifices that Jews have paid throughout the ages. It's only if we realize that we stand on their shoulders. You see, it's twofold importance. Number one, we appreciate our role, because the truth is, you know what that means? One day, someone is going to have to stand on our shoulders. So we have to make sure that we are laying the correct foundation, the correct foundational pillars for the next generation as well. So again, on one hand, you have the Torah explaining that this bracha is really part of the cause and effect. Remove the obstacles. Remove that which brings us down in life. And ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you will see how exceptionally righteous we become. Rabbi Sacks explaining that this bracha is here to create a historical continuum. There have been many who have tried to decimate us throughout the ages, but we are here because of the commitment and the endurance and the sacrifice of those who came before us. That endurance, that commitment, that sacrifice must be ever present within our Judaic consciousness. So let's go on to number five. So I want to share with you now something interesting, because I think that there are two very important lessons, albeit nuanced lessons, that come out from this bracha. Take a look at number five. So there's an amazing Gemara in Maseches Baba Kama. The Gemara writes, Amar le Rava le Rava bar Mori. Minoha milsa de Amar Rabbanon. Where is this concept? There's a concept that the rabbis often espouse. And where did it come from? What's the concept? Kala mevakish rachamim al chavero. V'utzarech le'osa davar. If somebody asks for compassion for his friend, somebody asks God for compassion for his fellow, and the petitioner, the person who is asking, needs the same thing, hu na'anet chila. That the petitioner is answered first. So again, so if I need something and Reuven needs something, and I daven for Reuven before I daven for my own needs, then what? Then the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers my needs first. Where does this concept come from? So the Gemara says, Vayispalel Avraham el ha'elokim, Vayirape elokim es avimelech ves ishto ves amosov, uksiv, V'Hashem pakad esara ka'asher amar Avram el Avimelech. So the Gemara says, because again, remember the episode where Sarah Imenu is taken by Avimelech, and there's an incredible plague that strikes the entire house of Avimelech. All the bodily orifices closed up in Avimelech's house. Avram Avinu davened for Avimelech. So again, amazingly enough, everything was closed, so to speak, in the house of Avimelech. And Sara Imenu, her womb was closed as well. So therefore the Gemara says, Avram davened for something that he himself needed. He needed his wife's womb to be open, to be able to give birth to a child. But yet he davened for Avimelech before he davened for his own wife. And what happened? Sara Imenu was remembered, Hashem Bakar Sarah, before Avimelech and his household were healed. So you see from here that what? That when a person requires something, and they daven as someone else, another individual requires, and daven for the other, but they daven for themselves, that they are answered first before the other. So this is a very interesting concept. So if you look at number six, the Maharal in his Chidushi Agodos writes the following. He gives a couple, I just want to share this because I think it's just interesting. He gives a couple of very interesting interpretations of this. He says, Huna anetchila, on paragraph A, Shahari kevan sha'osel davar, karov lo yoser, Lekach kasher na'ane ha'adam hu na'ane bedavar shukarov lo techila. So it's interesting. So the Maharal says that at the end of the day, as much as you're davening for someone else, but when you need that same thing, you feel when you're davening for someone else that you acutely need that same blessing as well. And that acuteness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays attention to, that acuteness of prayer. And therefore, again, God grants your request first. V'ha'adam karov la'atzmo, hu na'ane t'chilo, ki k'sheyipakad Hashem yisparach, asar sheyiftach rachma, v'lo beis avi melech. Aval gav, v'kvar hiftilchu ha'malochim ke'es, chaya o l'saravein, ein zekasha. So the Maharal happens to add in something different. He says, what kind of proof is this? Remember, Avram and Sarah were already promised children earlier on. So the Malachim, remember again, Avram Avinu is promised children at the beginning of Parashas Vayera, where ultimately the three angels show up at Avram Avinu's tent. That's before the whole episode of Avimelech. So the Gemara makes it sound like Sarah Imenu was given a child. Why? Because Avram davened for Avimelech before he davened for himself. But yet Avram Avinu was already promised a child earlier. So it says the Maharal, what's happening over here? He says, Kasha Loka Ein Zekash, that's not a question. Shahari Yaakov Amar Katoti Mikala Chasodim. So let's skip down a little bit. Skip down in paragraph B. In paragraph B, 1, 2, 3, 4 lines in, the last word on the line. Ve'ilu lo ispel Avram al Avimelech, haya mash asa kadosh baruch hu elav shenasan lo ben, miut mizichu Yosef. Achshav shahaya mispel al Avimelech ubizchus zeh, haya kadosh baruch hu nosin lo ben, haya kolzit kosav kibetchila, ve'lo haya lo shum nichui mizichu Yosef klal. So the Maharal gives a very interesting interpretation. It's just an aside, an interesting interpretation of this Gemara. So the Maharal says, what does it mean that when you daven for someone else, I need something, and my friend needs the same thing, but yet I daven for my friend before I daven for myself? So the Gemara says, I am answered first. So remember, the Gemara's proof to this is Avraham, that Avraham davened for Abimelech, for the openings to be opened. Avraham, so to speak, needed that same bracha for his wife. But yet he davens for Avimelech before he davens for his wife. And therefore he is answered first, or Sarah ultimately is answered first. So the Maharal says, but 1 second, ultimately Avram was already promised this beforehand. To which the Maharal says, what this concept means is the following. That sometimes when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a bracha, so that bracha comes with a cost. What's the cost? We all have accrued merits. You can imagine like a bank account. We all have accrued merits. And sometimes when God blesses me with something, that takes away from some of my accrued merits. What the Maharal is saying is that when you daven for someone else before you daven for yourself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you what you need and what? Will not decrease your merit account. So that divine blessing will be granted to you without diminishing your spiritual holdings. That's one possibility. But if you look at paragraph C, the Maharal brings down another idea. The Maharal says, "Va'od dechol davar af agav sheroi ubevada yavo tzorech shiyasiba shiyetzi havtach lepoa." This is such a profound idea. So the Maharal says, there are certain things that are going, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a master plan. And that master plan requires that certain things are going to happen at a certain time, or that certain things are going to happen. So says the Maharal, but sometimes in order for things to materialize, there has to be a siba. There has to be a reason. What is... Sorry. Okay. So now, the Maharal says there are certain things that have to happen. Certain things that have to happen. But at the end of the day, there has to be a catalyst. There has to be a spark. There has to be what the Maharal calls a siba. Siba literally means, you know what it's like? It's like if you put a seed in the ground. So if you till the soil and you put the seed in and you cover the seed up, so nothing happens until when? Until you water it, until it rains up. There has to be, there could be the potential, but the potential must be actualized by some catalyst. So says the Maharal something amazing. Again, va'od dekol davar, every matter, af agav sheroi ubevada yavo, even though it's definitely going to happen, Sarich sheyihye siba sheyetzi havtacha lapoal. There has to be a siba. There has to be a catalyst that brings the promise to fruition, to actualization. Ki Hashem yisbarach misavi davar shehu achana sheteitze havtacha lapoal. Because God creates certain realities, certain reasons that allow that which is, I guess, potential to turn into kinetic, to actualize. V'haya misave davar zeh, sheyihye Avram mispalel ba'ad Avimelech, v'ra'oi sheyihye na'anet techila. So the Maharal says something amazing. Again, this is just an aside. I just saw this and I was so taken by it. So the Maharal says that what does it mean that let's focus on Avram Avinu for just a moment. Because remember, the Maharal has a fundamental question about Avram Avinu, which is what? He was already promised. So the Maharal says, you're right. He was already promised. The promise was there, right? The seed was in the ground. But what had to happen? It had to be watered. There had to be a catalyst. And for Avram Avinu, which fits very beautifully with Avram Avinu's personality, for Avram Avinu, the catalyst was what? The catalyst was selfless chesed. Because remember, not every chesed is selfless. Why was this selfless chesed? Why was praying for Avimelech selfless chesed? Because what did Avimelech do just a couple of psukim earlier? He took Avram's wife. I think any person in that situation would have said, good, you get what you deserve. I'm not praying for you. Right? Halavai vayter. You should continue to suffer. Right? Look what you did. You're a minovel. How can you do such a thing like this? But Avram Avinu engaged in a selfless act of chesed. He davened for the man who took his life. Granted, again, take it a little bit easy on Avimelech. Avimelech was told that she was his sister, but nevertheless, Avimelech still acted without certain degrees of morality. So the Maharal says something amazing. The Havtacha, the promise was there. It was there. It was a seed in the ground. But there had to be a Siba. There had to be a catalyst. There had to be the water. There had to be the rain. There had to be something that would cause the seed to sprout. And the Maharal says, this is a paradigm for life. It's such an incredible metaphor. There are seeds all around us. There are opportunities for blessing all around us. The trick in life is not to try to find the blessing. The trick in life is to try to find the catalyst. Kadosh Baruch Hu plants bracha all around us. Sometimes just to bring out the bracha requires the siba, requires the reason, requires the catalyst. There's another idea. However, so now, remember, let's take what we have. So we're looking right, and we're examining a Gemara. And the Gemara espouses a concept, which is that kol mevakish rachma chavero, if I need something, the same thing as my friend, but I ask for my friend's need before I ask for my needs. So the Gemara says, who, the petitioner, the one who's praying, meaning me, hu na'ana tchila, I am answered first. So the Maharal understands, again, this concept in two different ways. First of all, again, A, because at the end of the day, sometimes when you daven for someone else, what that actually does is it accentuates the need for myself. So what it does is it creates a more intense personal prayer, and it's in the merit of the intensity of that personal prayer that my prayer is answered. Or possibility B, says the Maharal, that sometimes you need a siba. Sometimes I'm davening for something, and it's not coming to fruition, and I don't understand why. And sometimes that's because I need a catalyst. And sometimes, interestingly enough, the catalyst is not praying more for yourself, and the catalyst is not praying harder for yourself. Sometimes the catalyst is what? Doing something for someone else. Sometimes the catalyst is putting your own needs on the side, being there for someone else. That's the catalyst that ultimately allowed the seed of personal blessing to begin to sprout. Yes?
So, should a person
daven
for someone else? Should they also daven for
themselves? Absolutely. The Gemara is not saying you shouldn't daven for yourself. The Gemara is just saying that ultimately, again, someone who davens for someone else, in addition to davening for yourself. Correct. Except I would tell you, you know, hedge your bets. You know, do both. Do both. All the what the Gemara is highlighting over. Let me tell you one more approach. I think it'll answer your question. There could be another understanding of this Gemara. Because the truth is, you know, I will tell you that Gemaras like this, one always has to be careful with. Why be careful? Because whenever you see something that looks too black and white, so right, you have to understand it through the lens which Chazal meant it. Because a person could say, well, you know, I davened for, you know, Reuven for many things, and I needed those same things, and Reuven got them, and I didn't. You know, that gets into also a different discussion in terms of you don't always get what you pray for, not because God doesn't care about you, but because sometimes the things that we think we need are not the things that we think we need, which is the whole concept of humility and prayer as well. But I think this could be a simpler approach with this. You know, when the Gemara, if you look back at number 5 for just a moment, let's analyze the wording. So the Gemara said, whoever asks for compassion, sorry, I'm in the middle of the first line, whoever asks for rachamim, compassion, but in this case what it means is, I'm asking for something for my fellow, I need that very thing, so I am answered first. Perhaps, hu na'anet techila doesn't have to mean that I, the petitioner, so again, remember, the way we understand this Gemara in a simple way, just to frame this in the most simplistic fashion. I need X, Reuven needs X, and so the Gemara seems to say that if I daven for Reuven before I daven for myself, then ultimately, again, I will get X before Reuven gets X. So perhaps there's another way to understand it. Maybe hu na'anet techila, that I am answered first, doesn't literally mean that I get the bracha that I wanted first. But maybe what the Gemara is saying is the following. When you daven for someone else, what does that say? What does that say? It says that you have reached a level of selflessness where the needs of the other are as important to me as my own. When I daven for someone else, what I say is, again, that if you're deficient or you're not happy or you're lacking, that's just as difficult for me as if I was deficient, I was unhappy, or I was lacking. When the needs of the other become as important to me as my own, then what? Then even if my friend is answered first, it's as if what? It's as if I've been answered as well. So hu na'anet techila. Hu na'anet techila can mean one of two ways. It could be, if I answer first, then wonderful. But the truth is, if you reach a certain level of selflessness and you see that the other is answered for me, that gives me as much happiness as if I received the blessing myself. Obviously, an incredible level of selflessness, an incredible level. But when you look at the Gemara through that lens, what Chazal are teaching us is a paradigm. What Chazal are saying is, and we know this from so many other sources as well, that what's our goal? What's our goal as a people? Right? What, forget as a people. What's our goal as individuals? What's your goal? We're all working towards something in life. So what's our goal? All right, good. Right. So so you know, people to be outside of this. The goal, the truth is for the Jew, the goal really is to become a selfless individual. That really is the goal of the Jew, because if you think about it, if you become a selfless individual, everything flows from that. If I become selfless, I'm able to serve God. Because if I'm selfless, then what does that say? It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's needs are more important than my needs. Remember, the reason we tend to get into spiritual trouble in life is because at some point in time we make the decision that what I need is more important than what God needs of me. If I become a selfless individual, suddenly again, it's not about what I want. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do you want? And whatever you want, that's what I want to do. If I become a selfless individual vis-a-vis the other, then suddenly again, service to the other, caring for the other, chesed for the other, becomes ultimately second nature. So that's the Gemara saying, kalamavakish rachamim al chavero, whoever asks for compassion for something for his friend, v'tzorech la'osa davar, I need it also. But so again, and the dean of this addresses your point, I'm asking for myself. Of course I'm going to ask for myself also. But the truth is, just as important, what the point the Gemara is making is, that just as important as asking for myself is that I ask for the other. Just as important as filling my need is filling the need for the other. The Gemara says, if you're such an individual that davening for the other is just as important to you as davening for yourself, hu na'anet techila, you will be answered first. No matter how it pans out, you're answered first. Again, if you actually get the blessing first, then you're okay. Then one part of your prayer was answered first. And if your friend gets the blessing before you, you're also answered, because you will rejoice in the fact that the other, that your fellow, received this beautiful blessing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, why am I sharing this with you? Because go back to number one for just a moment. I'll show you something really interesting, which is really, really quite fascinating. If you look at the structure of this bracha, the bracha says, Ala tzadikim, ala chassidim, al zikni amcha beis Yisrael. So the righteous, the pious. Remember, what are we asking for in this bracha? What are we? Compassion. So who are we asking compassion for? For the righteous, for the pious, zikni amcha beis Yisrael, for the elders, al pleitas sofreim, the scholars, the al gileat tzedek, and for the converts, and then, the aleinu. So it's quite interesting that if you notice, we're davening for everyone else first before we daven for ourselves. We've gone already, remember, from one end of the spectrum to the other, right? From the tzaddik, right? To the person who may have just converted yesterday and joined the fold of the Jewish people. And I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give them compassion. Oh, and by the way, Vialeinu, give it to me also. What one of the nuanced messages of this bracha is that we really have to work on ourselves to become selfless people. You know, Chief Rabbi Sacks gave a drasha. I think he actually gave this drasha, gave a speech. I think it was at the annual, you know, Chabad gathers at Shluchim once. I think he was the keynote speaker at one of their gatherings. And he spoke about the fact that the greatest challenge of our generation is that we're the I generation. There's iPods and there's iPhones and there's I. He says, you know, that's a statement about the nature of our generation. We are very me focused. And it creates an incredible challenge for us because as a people, we are very at our core, we try to be exceptionally selfless. Because you understand selflessness is the key to a successful relationship with God. Selflessness is a key to this to a beautiful relationship with our fellow man. So amazingly enough, I think over here, embedded in such a nuanced fashion in this bracha is what happens. We're davening for divine compassion. What is more important in life than divine compassion? So I'm going to say, give it to me. No, I don't come first. I actually come last on this list because I have to condition myself to be the kind of person where even though I need something, I'm going to dive in for someone else first because your needs are just as important to me as my needs. And when I see you experience blessing, when I see you experience incredible life triumph, I am just as happy as if I would have experienced it myself. Again, not an easy level at all, that level of selflessness, but something that Chazal are telling us that we have to try to aspire to. One more piece. What's also intriguing, by the way, about this bracha, just looking back at number one for just a moment, is why are the Gerim mentioned separately? Right? Why single out the converts? Right? Meaning at the end of the day, you say tzadikim, chassidim, ziknam, chabeshal, pleitas, those are all the spiritual elite, all the great people of our nation. So Gerim, why aren't the converts just included in what? In Aleinu. In Aleinu. And the rest of us, why are they singled out? So I'll give you first a simple answer. So the Torah writes, actually, skip to number 8, the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef writes, he says, Gam ze sham kolomar, dikra dimipnei seva tokum, mairi bitzadikim, dikhsibe bardarta pnei zakim. The Torah says, mipnei seva tokum, you shall get up in front of an elder. And the Gemara says, dikhsibe bardarta pnei zakim, you shall respect your elders. Vahainu. Chacham, ki the darish prepare a common dekidushin, ze shekana chachma. It's interesting. What is a zakein? You know, it's interesting. In Judaism, we respect our elderly. And the truth is, we respect our elderly independent of whether or not they're Torah scholars or whatever. We respect elderly people. Why is that? Because Judaism has the approach that if somebody is older, it means what? That, first of all, could be they're closer to Sinai, but even simpler, they're wiser. Why are they wiser? Life experience. Because we appreciate the fact that one of the most important sources of wisdom is life experience. And the only way you have life experience is how? As if you live, right? Is again, is and as you get older, the more you learn. That's why, again, so often the older we get, we look back on decisions we made when we were younger. We wonder why exactly we made those decisions. Then we realize, you know what? I made the best decision I could at the time. But had I known then what I know now, how differently I would have chosen. Again, that is the great challenge and frustration of life. So therefore, again, the Beis Yosef is something very interesting. If we look in the Torah, so the Torah tells you that I'm supposed to respect my elderly. And elderly in this context doesn't just mean somebody who's biologically old, but we understand the word zokein. Zokein is an acronym for Zeh Shekana Chachma. He or she who has acquired wisdom. So in the Torah, after it discusses respecting my elders, which indicates, again, not just respect the elders, but respecting Talmidei Chachamim, Torah scholars, representing those who are great in their own way. Right after that, what does it say? V'samich lei, v'chi yagur itcha ger, hari gerim smuchim letzadikim. So right after the psukim that talk about respecting the elderly, which means respecting the righteous and the wise, right after that, what does the Torah discuss? Some of the laws of converts. So in other words, with the Beis Yosef, and the Beis Yosef is Rabbi Yosef Karo, the Beis Yosef says it's very simple. The reason why the rabbis chose this formulation in this bracha is because they are mirroring the biblical juxtaposition. That in the Torah, the concept of honoring the elderly is right next to taking care of the convert. Because elderly doesn't just mean elderly, but it means Torah scholars as well. Therefore, the bracha mimics or mirrors this same biblical juxtaposition. Therefore, after we say Al Tzadikim, Chasidim, Ziknei Chabei Yisrael, Putas Ravim, and then we say Geirei HaTzadik. Okay, so that's the simple answer. But take a look at number 9. There's an amazing Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin, and the Gemara says, "Am Rabbi Chelbo." Rabbi Chelbo said, "Kasha Geirim LiYisrael Kisapachas." Sapachas is a form of tzaraas. We loosely translate tzara'as as leprosy, even though it's not really leprosy. But so this is amazing. Rabbi Chelbo said, converts are as difficult for the Jewish people as leprosy. What does that mean? So at first glance, it does not seem very positive. But you know, the reason why I can't be honest with you is because remember, the Torah gives us an explicit commandment, v'ahavtem es hager, to love the convert, which of course is very unique. Why? Why? Remember, we have to love everybody. So the Torah, however, felt it was necessary to give an additional command to love the convert because HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood human nature. Human nature is such that sometimes it's difficult for us to relate to people who are not like us. So if someone joins the fold of the Jewish people, comes from a different way of life, a different culture, a different background, that person, for whatever reason, may not be accepted. Therefore, the Torah goes out of its way to say, no, you have to love him too. So the question is, Rabbi Chelbo can't be saying something negative about the ger, because at the end of the day, the Torah itself commands us to love the ger. So what does Rabbi Chelbo mean? Take a look at number 10. So there are a number of different approaches. I'll just share one with you. Tosfos writes, V'yesh mefarshim, dekashim gerim liyisrael kisapachas. What does it mean that converts are as difficult for the Jewish people as saras, as leprosy? Lefi shehisir HaKadosh Baruch Hu aleihem bechof dalid mekomo shelhonos osam. God commanded us in no less than 24 different places, prohibited us about mistreating the convert. God told us 24 different times not to mistreat the convert, the efshar shelo yitzaru. And Tosa says, it's inevitable that at some point in time, I'm going to offend the convert. Now, what does this mean? So first of all, this is also very important. You know, the Gemara says, for example, that a person has to be very careful never to make disparaging statements about Gentiles. The truth is, you should never make disparaging statements about anyone. It's a good way to live. But sometimes, again, when we're right, we're amongst Jews, we take certain liberties with speaking about Goyim or this or that. It's not a good idea regardless. It really isn't. Because a Jew is supposed to speak in a very refined fashion. But sometimes you speak a certain way, you know, amongst the Jewish group. So the Gemara says, be very careful how you speak about the nations of the world in front of a ger. Because as much as a ger has accepted this new lifestyle, a ger came from that world. A ger may have parents in that world. A ger may have siblings in that world. So be very careful how you speak to them. So what Tosfos is saying is, chances are at some point in time, you're going to say something that's going to offend the ger. Just again, tell us saying the reality is there are so many sensitivities, understandable sensitivities, that sometimes sensitivities that we're not even aware of. Sometimes issues that we're not even aware of at all. So it says Tosos, what Rabbi Chelba was saying is the following. Just what does it mean that gerim are as difficult as saras, as leprosy? That just like leprosy afflicts the individual, so too we are commanded to treat the ger with such love and such kid gloves. And what? It's inevitable that I'm going to lapse. It's inevitable that at some point I'm going to say something stupid. I'm going to say something inappropriate. I'm going to say something that's going to be offensive. For me, it seems innocuous, but that's because maybe I'm not sensitive enough to the needs of the ger. But the truth is, there could be another pshat as well. And I always thought what Rabbi Chelba was really trying to say was the following. What does it mean, kashe gerim li yisrael kesafachas, that ultimately, again, the converts are as difficult for the Jewish people as leprosy? You know what the difference with leprosy is? You know what happens if you get leprosy? So a person looks whole, except again, there's that one blotch that stands out on the individual. What does it mean that the gerim are difficult? Because the truth is, if we're honest, very often the gerim, the converts, make the natural born Jews look bad. Why? Because I see the ger, and I see how much passion the ger brings. I see how much intensity. I see how much love. I see that when the convert davens, the convert mamish feels like they're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't understand. I've been doing it much longer than the convert. The convert doesn't even know what all the words mean. I know what the words mean. Shabbos, I see the convert comes into Shabbos and the convert is a different person. Tzedakah, the convert is. I see all of these things that the ger does. And the truth is, you know what? I do it. I follow all the details. And I know the details better than he knows the details. But yet, when it comes to the passionate experience of Judaism, when it comes to experiential Judaism, when it comes to the concept of using Torah and mitzvahs to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they make me look like I have tzaras. They make me look so inferior. So inferior. The truth is, you could extend this also not just to the ger, but to the Baal Tshuva as well. That amazingly enough, you know, some of us who have been doing this for a very long time, look at people who are a little bit more newly initiated, whether because of conversion or because of a return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the truth is, we're jealous. We're jealous because I wish I could have that same level of intensity, that same level of passion. And perhaps that's what the bracha is saying. If you go back to number one for just a moment, and with this we'll conclude. If you look back in number one, so what are we saying over here? What's the common denominator between tzaddikim, chassidim, zikni amcha beis Yisrael, pleitas, sovereign, and geiri hatzedek? What makes a great person great? And the answer is passion. The answer is passion. Anyone could learn a lot of Torah. Anyone could do a lot of mitzvos. That's not how greatness is defined. Greatness is defined by the ability to have a passionate connection with the Ribono Shel Olam. And so we begin this bracha by saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, the tzaddikim understand it, the chassidim understand it, the zikni amcha beis Yisrael understand it, the pleitas sofreim understand it, the geiri hatzedek understand it. You know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what we yearn for more than anything? The aleinu. If only we could have, everyone else, if only we could have that same level of passion. Now, what do we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? V'sim chalkenu imahem li'olam. Place our portion, set our lot with them. Allow me to find the same level of passion in my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the tzaddikim, chassidim, ziknei, amcha b'Yisrael, pleitas ofreim, and geiri hatzedek. Sim chalkenu imahem. Place my portion with them, and watch this. Now this is amazing. And what does that last part mean? So that we may never be ashamed. Now, nevosh doesn't just mean ashamed. Nevosh could also mean despair. That we never give up, for in you we trust. Or in other words, you know what's amazing about the passion of the tzaddik, the chassid, the zokein, the sofer, and the ger? Is that that passionate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu infuses them with incredible hope and incredible optimism. They don't despair because they feel the presence of God and they know that it follows them wherever they go. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Simchal Keinu Imahem. Set our lot with them. Help us find that same level of passion. Uli olam lo nevosh. Don't let us despair or give up hope. Ki b'chabatachnu. Allow us to find the passion so we could cultivate the same level of passionate belief in you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that no matter what happens in life, we feel connected, we don't despair, and we always look forward. So if we bring this all together, what we have is really a number of beautiful, meaningful, and important messages within this one little bracha. First of all, what we learn is, according to the Torah, the idea, the juxtaposition between V'la Malshin and bracha number 12 and Ala Tzadikim bracha number 13, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we yearn to be good, we want to be good, our natural disposition is to be good. But if you would only remove some of the obstacles from us, we would shine so much brighter. Rabbi Sachs, this bracha has to highlight to us what? That we stand on the shoulders of great people. We must understand that we are where we are in life only because of the sacrifices of those who came before us. We must be sensitive to those sacrifices. We must appreciate those sacrifices. And we must understand that just as we stand on the shoulders of those who came before us, others will need to stand on our shoulders. We must make sure that our shoulders are sufficiently broad to be able to support the next generation. We then saw two very important lessons. We saw, based on the Gemara, that if we notice the order places the request for divine compassion for everyone else and then us. This echoes a sentiment in the Gemara that what? That our goal is to become selfless individuals. Our goal is to become the kind of people that feel the needs of the other as acutely as I feel my own. And the kind of people that feel the blessing that the other receives as if I myself received that blessing. And in this bracha, in a nuanced fashion, Chazal are telling us, we daven for divine compassion for everyone else. And then only at the end, we place in aleinu. To highlight, we must become these selfless type of individuals, wholly and fully committed to the other. What we ended off, why the last message, why the gerim mentioned separately? Because the gerim highlights the common denominator. The common denominator among all of the groups mentioned in this particular bracha is that they all have an incredible passionate relationship against Torah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what we're truly asking for over here is not just simply divine compassion. We're asking for passion. We're asking for intense connection. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need your help to be able to create that. Give me the same level of passion that the convert has, that the tzaddik has, that the chassid has. And if you simchal kinu imohem, because if you give me that, the same way these people are able to weather all the different difficulties and vicissitudes of life, because they know God is by their side. They know they feel God's hand on their head. They know that some way, somehow, everything is going to be okay. Give us that passion as well. Uli olam lo nevosh ki b'chabatachnu. Give us that same level of passion, and we too will be able to maintain a sense of optimism throughout the journey of life. Now, we'll stop over here. In our session next week, we'll continue with Bracha 14. Thank you. Thank you.